In Copenhagen, the conference president quits.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Our special coverage of the UN Climate Change Summit in Copenhagen continues now with breaking news, the sudden resignation of the president of the conference. Marketplace's Stephen Beer joins us live from Copenhagen. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Bill.
Why has the conference president resigned?
Well, what's happened here is the overall head of the proceedings, a Danish minister called Conny Hedegaard, has stepped down as president of the summit. Her role will be taken over by the Danish prime minister. Pretty dramatic move just on the eve of this final phase of the talks as the world leaders arrive. And as I understand it, the first time this has happened at a climate summit.
Well, what does this tell us about the state of the talks?
It's a bad sign, no doubt about that. Officially, the Danes are saying it's more appropriate for a prime minister to preside over the meeting. Now the leaders are turning up. Conny Hedegaard, meanwhile, will get down to running the negotiations directly to make the final push to knock heads together. And as an environment minister, she's got a lot of the detail at her fingertips. But this really does show the talks are in trouble. If things were going well, we wouldn't have a resignation like this.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard, live from Copenhagen. Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
And in a few minutes, I'll ask an executive at the energy giant BP why his company has reduced its investment in renewable energies. Checking stocks now, European markets are up by about 1%, but Asian stocks were mostly lower today. And on Wall Street, the Dow fell 49 points yesterday to close at 10,452. It was just a couple days ago, Citigroup said it's ready to pay back its TARP money. And some analysts were warning, well, Citi isn't really ready to do that. It just didn't want to be the last big bank with government bailout money. Well, this morning, the Washington Post reports there may be more to the story than we thought. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live from New York. Okay, Jeremy, what more is there to the story?
Well, Bill, the Post reports that last Friday, the IRS quietly exempted Citigroup from some rules on tax breaks, and the point was to allow Citi and other firms that are partially owned by the government to get billions of dollars in tax breaks going forward. This is thanks to a rule that allows a company to use past losses as a reason it shouldn't have to pay taxes on future profits. And since Citi has lost about $38 billion, it would potentially be able to skip the bill on that much going forward.
And so tell us about this quiet exemption the IRS gave.
Well, the thing is, you don't get the tax break if there's a change in ownership. And remember, the government is about to sell its 34% stake in Citi. So that could be seen as a change in ownership. What the IRS did was say, no, that's not a change in ownership. End of story. Keep your tax break, Citigroup.
Mm-hmm. So Citigroup is paying back TARP, but still sort of getting a bailout?
You could say that. The government officials, however, tell the Post this could be good for the taxpayer in the end because it may keep the price of Citi's stock higher as the government tries to sell its stake, Bill.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson with us live from New York City. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
Continuing our coverage of the UN Climate Change Summit now, some of the biggest energy companies in the world are in Copenhagen, including Britain's BP, which the company likes to say these days now stands for Beyond Petroleum. BP says it has invested more than $1 billion in renewable energies last year, but this year the company says that amount has fallen to possibly as low as $500 million. BP's Director of European Government Affairs is Howard Chase. Howard, welcome.
Good morning.
Why has BP decided to scale back its renewable energy investments?
Nothing's changed in the strategy. I think what we're doing here is concentrating on what we really can do. Let me give you a couple of examples. We're looking at biofuels, for instance. Biofuels, we believe, can make a really valuable contribution both to energy security, but also, of course, to reducing CO2 from transport. The other really good example is if you make electricity from natural gas, you can make it with much less CO2 than from, for example, coal. Those, I think, are two good examples that aren't necessarily renewable, but they are much lower carbon forms of energy.
Well, sometimes the government pushes things along with subsidies. Why not invest some of the $5.33 billion in profit from the third quarter into something that might stand on its feet years down the road?
Absolutely. And first, we are investing. And secondly, I accept your point about governments. But you need to invest in something where you can be fairly confident it is going to work in the longer term.
And what would it take to bring BP that kind of confidence in, say, solar?
Well, in fact, solar is growing very quickly in the world economy, but from a small base. It's only a very small part of the total energy that we use. And so we still need to invest heavily in what you might call conventional energy, oil and gas.
What, if anything, could happen at this Copenhagen conference to draw more of BP's money into renewable energies?
I think for all of us in business, we're looking to see a more predictable and clear long-term framework for running our businesses. So if governments can agree a real framework on a global basis, a single agreement, if you like, going on into the future, then I think all businesses can plan on a much longer-term basis. That's really what we're looking for from Copenhagen.
Howard Chase is Director of European Government Affairs at BP. Howard, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And finally, after 300 functional years, British bankers today are expected to abolish the check. People aren't writing checks like they used to, and banks prefer online payments and debit cards. Some folks are protesting the 10-year phase-out of the check. They don't want to go electronic. For them, according to the Daily Mirror newspaper, bankers are promising an alternative, but they're not saying what that is. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.